Yeah, this is Bill. I'm recovering from depression. I'm in a couple of other fellowships, and in that other fellowship, I say I'm powerless over a lot of things, not just alcohol. And I'm powerless over a lot of things, not just depression, because I can pick up anything and make it my drug of choice, whether that's alcohol, food, sex, computer games, television. Or isolating myself and removing myself from the world. And I think my disease of addiction and depression is triggered in large part by my inherent discomfort with the present moment. I seek to escape. There's something about the present moment that freaks me out, and I want to escape. And that's not to beat myself up, that's just stating things as they are, that I very easily get freaked out and I want to escape. And the funny thing is, I have all these different drugs of choice that I can pick from to escape, but the only refuge I've found from the present moment is the present moment, to be fully engaged in it. And that's not my norm. My norm is to escape. And I have to accept the fact that that's my desire to escape. That's not resigning to that fact and saying, oh, I'm screwed. It's just that's where my brain goes. My brain wants to escape. And I have to redirect my attention. I kind of have spiritual ADD. I'm just all over the place and I want to run away from the present moment, but I have to keep redirecting my focus back to the present moment. And I'm certainly not perfect at it. I fall short every day. And yeah. One of the things that was talked about in the reading for Higher Thoughts for Down Days was the idea that God is not some magical wizard that's going to give me everything that I wish for. And it's my firm belief that God answers all prayers. The problem is that the problem for us humans is the answer is often no. And there's three ways God answers prayers: yes, no, and not right now. And so if I want to live and abide by God's will, I need to pray the prayers that God will answer yes to. So some of those prayers are things like, God, outdo me in generosity. Things like, God, put someone in my life, in my path, so that I can be a channel of your peace and your love. God, give me the strength to get through this hardship, not to lift the hardship, but to get through it. God, give me patience. And if I pray those things, God more often than not is going to answer yes to those prayers. He will get me through the situation. And God can do miraculous things. He can cure any disease and fix anything, but for whatever reason, it's not in his plan. And I need to accept whatever that plan is. And not that I have to like it. Early on in before recovery and at the beginning of recovery, I used to ask the question, why a lot? Why did I have the child that I had? Why are things so difficult for me? Why did my daughter die? Why? And it's crazy making for me. And I was raised a Catholic, and I still believe. I don't go to church too often, but I do still believe. But I've also read other religions. And if I were to boil Buddhism down to a nutshell, is stop doing the things that create suffering and start doing the things that lessen suffering. And it's up to me to figure out what those things are, which ones create suffering and which ones lessen suffering. And for me, that question, why, creates suffering. And it's not, excuse me, it's not useful for me to go there. Can I go there? Can I ask the question why? Sure. God has given me the ability to judge and to think. But is it helpful? Am I going to increase or am I going to decrease suffering? So I've had to let go of why. I still catch myself saying why, but I don't stay there. And I firmly believe that when I die and meet Jesus in heaven, all will be revealed and it will all make sense. But I'm not dead yet. That's not where I am. I'm here in this earthly realm, and it's not up to me to understand why. It's up to me to accept and to ask myself a different question, not why, but how. How do I live my life so that I'm not suffering, that I'm acting in accordance to God's plans? Am I doing the loving thing? And some people think of, I'll just mention, I don't want to go there. My higher power gave a commandment, and that commandment, I think, is the essence of what the religion is supposed to be about, and that is, love one another as I have loved you, so you too must love one another. That's the essence of the religion of my youth. But it gets clouded by other people who don't understand God's message. And I need to bring myself back to that simple statement. Love one another as I have loved you, so you too must love one another. And it's not always easy in the moment. And being loving is not about being a doormat where people can walk all over you. Being loving sometimes is being firm and doing the things that the other person doesn't want to happen. For those of you who've had children in the past or watched children, you know little kids don't like to go to bed at night. They don't want to. They want to stay up. They think they're going to miss something. You as a loving parent need to put them to bed because that's the loving thing to do, even though they don't want to do it. And the funny thing is, I think of recovery as me parenting my own inner wounded child. You know, I want my way. I'm that petulant little kid that wants to stay up late, that wants things his way, that doesn't want responsibility. But that's not reality. So I need to, sorry, my dog is barking. I need to parent that inner child and do what's best in the best interest of that inner child, even though the outer adult wants things his way. And again, it's not about perfection. Because I'm human, I'm flawed, I'm broken, I will make mistakes. But I need to strive to do better and hopefully not make the same mistake again and again, but having the opportunity to make new mistakes, new ways of approaching things and recognizing that I've fallen short in some way. And in order to do that, I need to judge. And there's proper and improper forms of judgment. And as I see it, an improper form of judgment is when I judge other people. Because I'm not God. I don't know all of the facts. I don't know what's in someone's heart. You know, will I have the temptation to judge others? Sure, I'm human. That's what I do. But I have to take the higher road and try not to let my inner instant judgment to cloud my interaction with that person. proper judgment is me comparing myself, my current self, against my former self. Have I improved or have I gotten worse? That information from that judgment, self-judgment, is something that I can do something with, that I can change my behavior, change my thoughts, because I'm the only thing that I have any chance of controlling. Everybody else is outside of my control. The world is outside of my control. And I can judge other people. I can judge other things, but it's not useful. It's not going to get me anywhere. I can't change them. So I try to focus on those things that are most important, that are most helpful for me. And again, I'm human. I don't do it perfectly. I fall short every day. And, you know, my inclination is to isolate. I'm an introvert by nature, and my disease tells me to crawl into the bill cave and have the world pass me by. You know, I don't want to be bothered. And it's because I'm uncomfortable in the present moment. And I purposely don't use the phrase comfort zone because it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable at all. I prefer to use the phrase familiar zone. I know what to expect. If I isolate and pull away from others, I will be safe for the next couple of moments. So there was a real short-term gain to isolating. And if I don't recognize that there is a short-term gain to isolating, I'm deluding myself. But I have to look at the bigger picture. I have to look at the long-term effects of isolating. I'm not being loving to myself, and I'm not being loving to the people who I claim to love. Being a human is about being social, being connected. We're social beings. It's not just about us. And prior to recovery, I tried to do things my way. That really didn't work. At the beginning of recovery, it was me and God. Things got a little better, but they still weren't right. It wasn't until I had a three-legged stool of myself, God, and others that I started to heal. I'm not in this alone. Recovery is not an individual sport. It's a team sport. And I need to be involved, even though the default voices in my head are telling me to isolate. It's okay for me to have dark thoughts. What's not okay is for me to stay in them, to wallow in my dark thoughts, to stay in my depression. You know, I firmly believe that depression is going to remain with me the rest of my life, but that doesn't make me hopeless. It only has to be a small part of who Bill is. It doesn't have to be the overarching definition of who I am. It's just part of who I am. Just like I play many roles in my life, I'm a man, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a sibling. You know, I was a child at one point, a son, but my parents are gone, so I don't play that role anymore. But I play all those roles. And one of the roles is, you know, I'm depressed. I have depression. I try not to say I am depressed because there's a finality to that, a real final judgment. And it's just part of who I am. It's not all of me. But I need to steer my focus away from the depression and towards recovery from depression. You know, it's a matter of what I focus on. There's a line from Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, that goes something like, what we focus on grows. If I focus on my disease of depression, it's going to grow. I can't ignore it. I still need to pay attention to it once in a while because I need to recognize what's coming but I need to put more of my focus on the recovery from depression. How am I living my life so that I can be useful, content, and whole? Not joyous all the time, because that's not reasonable. Sorry, frog in my throat. But what's more reasonable is that I will have ups and downs. And for me, depression, I'm flatlined at the bottom. There's no emotion. I'm completely disconnected, empty, in a void. And coming out of depression is reconnecting myself to my immediate family, reconnecting myself to society, stepping up and doing service in some small or big way. And service can be as simple as holding the door open for somebody. You know, it can be saying hello. It can be helping clean up after a meeting. Don't just go to the meeting and walk out. Put the chairs away. Clean up the garbage. And I need to keep the focus away from myself and my problems. I can't ignore me and my problems, but I need to put more of my focus outside of myself. And the first deadly sin is pride, but in my estimation, pride is not the problem. False pride is the problem. If I study hard and study material and do well on the test, that's something to be proud of. I did something good and I got good as a result. That's a real reason. That's true pride. False pride comes in two forms. It comes in negative self-pride, where I think I'm less than everybody else. And it comes in positive self-pride, where I think I'm better than everybody else. And neither one of those are true. I'm just another bozo on the bus. I'm just another beloved child of God. You know, we all have different attributes. Some of us are taller. Some of us are smaller. Some of us are smarter. Others are not. That doesn't make me better. That just makes me different. I'm a pretty smart guy, but it doesn't make me better than anybody else. It just makes me different. And I need to look at it of, wow, God made people in so many different ways. What's the reason behind that? Can't I just rejoice in the fact that there are differences? I'm not better than anybody else. I'm not worse than anybody else. And I learned a simple prayer in the rooms that helps with humility. And the whole prayer is, Lord, may I see myself as you see me. That's it. Lord, may I see myself as you see me. Because my vision is distorted. I see myself in a funhouse mirror. I'm either bigger than everybody else or less than everybody else. And neither of those are true. You know, I may have depression, but I'm not depressed 100% of the time. It may be most of the time, but it's not 100% of the time. I've had to let go of absolute language, all, nothing, none, everything. Before recovery, everything was black and white. It's not that way. Life is about the gray. It's a matter of being on the spectrum of color. You know, we're all depressed. We all have anxiety. We all are crazy at one point or another. It's just where we are on that spectrum at any time. And a friend of mine in recovery, he uses a line that I just love so much. I'm not any less crazy. I'm just crazy less often. And I don't have to give in to that craziness or that darkness. I just need to recognize what it is, judge myself and say, oh, I'm acting a little anxious right now, or, oh, I'm focused on the negative, and change my thoughts. You know, what I choose to think about, what I choose to say, it has great power. My words create my destiny. If I say it's the worst day of my life, guess what? It's going to feel like the worst day of my life. I choose to describe things accurately. I'm having a hard day. That is truthful. Am I having the worst day of my life? No. That only happens once in my life. It doesn't happen every day. And I need to remember that. I need to right size who I am in the world. Not easy to do. It's a simple command, but it's not easy to implement. And it's not about one and done. You know, just like I'm not going to get rock hard abs by doing one setup, I'm not going to be content and peaceful and serene by doing it once. It's about putting it into practice, trying again and again. And I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to do recovery forever. I only need to do it today. I don't need to be sober forever. I only need to be sober today. I don't need to be loving and kind forever. I just need to be loving and kind today. Tomorrow is tomorrow. It hasn't happened yet. And the past and the future don't exist. The only thing that exists is the right now. The past did happen, but it's in the past. My memories of the past are happening right now. I'm not jumping back in time and I'm not in the past. I'm thinking about the past. I'm thinking in the present moment about what's happened to me before. So the past doesn't exist anymore. Only the present moment. And that's where peace is. That's where serenity is. That's where sobriety is. That's where God is. God is in the present moment. There's a line from Christian scripture that I find really helpful and brings me peace. Be still and know that I am God. Not that I was God or I will be God. I am God. God is with me right here, right now.